Hallelujah, he's risen. How many of you are inspired by worms? Barry, Ruth. How many of you feel like a worm sometimes?
I think it's a bit of context sometimes we need on the worm.
Bit of context. I'm going to give you a fabulous context now in the next 10 minutes about worms. Psalm 22. I'm going to read a few verses from Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I'm reading bits of the Psalm 22 that Jesus fulfilled when he was on the cross. All who see me sneer at me. They separate with the lip. They wag the head, saying, commit yourself to the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, because he delights in him. I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. Dogs have surrounded me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look, they stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But thou, O Lord, be not far off. O thou my help, hasten to my assistance. Deliver my soul from the sword, my only life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. Thou dost answer me. I will tell of thy name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise thee. I am a worm and not a man, a reproach of men, scorned by men and despised by the people. Why did he call himself a worm? There is a worm which lives in the land of Israel that goes through a life cycle. It's a crimson or scarlet worm. When it reproduces, only once in its life, it fuses itself to a piece of upright wood and makes a hard crimson shell. That's a picture of lots of those worms.
And maybe you should add that in the original text of Hebrew, it's not a worm like we know it. This specific worm that is named in this passage.
So the worm in Psalm 22, when the psalmist is identifying with a worm, and Jesus quotes it, that psalm, talking about this very specific creature. It's not a very long worm. We'll have a picture of it in a minute. It's so strong and permanently stuck to the wood that you can't take the shell off without destroying the insect that's stuck to the tree. Jesus was stuck to an upright piece of wood for us. And he fulfilled a curse. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Galatians chapter 3:13. Jesus suffered a curse, the curse of being killed and bearing our sins, in order that we would be blessed. The great exchange. He was cursed so that we would be blessed. Fused to a tree. I'm going to tell you much more about this crimson worm, the life cycle. It is absolutely wonderful. The young of this worm are protected and fed. And there's a little picture of a baby squirrel, I think, being fed with a syringe. The crimson worm lays its eggs under its body and the protective shell. So its body is covering the eggs that are against the tree. And when the larvae hatch, they stay under the shell. The mother's body gives protection for her babies and provides them with food to eat. The body. We're going to have communion shortly. Going to be remembering, eating someone who gave his body for us. The young feed on the living body of the mother. Jesus said, "Take and eat, this is my body." The mother gives her life to protect her young. Little picture there. Give blood, give life. Any of you donated a pint of blood? Few of us have.
An armful.
Crispin's given an armful. My most exciting time of giving an armful was when I was doing a student elective in Africa, when I was a medical student, and there was a lady with malaria who needed a pint of blood transfusion, and I gave her a pint of my own blood, because I've got blood type O, which is a universal donor. So I was privileged. So mother gives her life to protect her young, because after a few days of feeding, the young worms have grown and the mother dies. She's given her life. The mother then secretes a red dye, which stains the wood it's attached to and also covers the young worms, covered with something red. And they remain red for the rest of their lives. Jesus gave his life for us. Shed his blood so that we would live. Covered by the blood. So there's a picture of one of the worms. You see, it's more like a sort of maggot than a worm, but it's tollaat coccus. Coccus ilicis. So Barry would know the Latin name. It's called coccus ilicis.
No.
The Hebrew is tollaat.
Don't ask me then.
Okay. So here we are. The scarlet covering protects the young from predators and stains them blood red for the rest of their lives. Jesus' blood covers us from the accusations of Satan. When Satan goes into God's presence, as close as he can get, which isn't very close, and he starts accusing Christine of not being loving, or accusing me of being proud or arrogant or whatever, Jesus there is saying, look, I shed my blood. My blood atones for all that. Get lost, Satan, as it were. And we can say the same to Satan when he accuses us. Get lost. My sins are covered by the blood of Jesus. Covered by the blood. Revelation 12:11. They overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So we overcome Satan when we tell him what we testify what the blood of Jesus has done for me. That's how we overcome Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We speak to Satan, tell him what the blood has done. Yeah, so they're covered by the blood. And then there's 3 days of hidden work going on underneath this hard shell. There's the iceberg that shows you there's a lot more under the surface than there is above. An iceberg is only about one part in 10 that's above the surface, and the rest of the 9/10 are below and invisible, and they can rip into the skin of a boat like the Titanic. 3 days of hidden work. So here we are. For 3 days after the worm dies, the crimson gel can be scraped from the tree and used to make a dye. For 3 days. As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish, so the Son of Man, that's Jesus, his name for himself, he'll be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. What was he doing during those 3 days? He visited a place called hell, and he did a lot of trouble. He caused a lot of trouble in hell, and he preached a message, and he defeated Satan. Wonderful. So when Jesus was in the tomb, or shall we say in the interval between him being put in the tomb and the interval when he burst out on resurrection morning today, he was doing a lot of important spiritual work, rescuing us and declaring his victory in hell. 3 days of hidden work. Now here's another interesting thing. We have a great high priest. You know, in the Old Testament, the priest would bring the blood into the tabernacle or into the temple and offer it to God so that God would forgive and the sins would be covered. And the high priest, that same dye from this particular worm was harvested and used in the tabernacle in the wilderness to dye red the skin of rams that were one of the levels of the covering over the tabernacle. So when God looked down from heaven, as it were, and saw the tabernacle, he could see this this layer of dyed red. And the garments of the high priest were dyed red with this dye that came from this worm in Israel. There you see the high priest. There's a lot of red and there's a lot of blue and there's a lot of purple and there's a lot of gold. And they all have significance. Today in Israel, the Jews are still harvesting the dye from the same worm. They're colouring, they're preparing the garments for the high priest, because you know the Jews are trying to build a third temple. Might not be aware of that. They're in very advanced stages. All the stones are ready. All the priests are trained. The red calf is being... they're breeding the red heifers. They've got all the things ready. Because they believe that they're going to be building a temple again. And they're using that same dye. Jesus is our great high priest. He presented his own blood as a sacrifice. See, he was the sacrifice because he died. He was also the priest presenting the sacrifice. He presented himself, presented his own blood. And his blood was so infinitely valuable that one presentation of it was more powerful than thousands of years of the blood of bulls or goats or lambs being presented. And that's the one sacrifice that we depend upon and thank the Lord for dealing with our sins. So also in the book of Revelation 19 verse 13, there's a reference to Jesus riding on a white horse. He's clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. So the end of the age, Jesus is coming back, but not as a meek or, well, he's always meek actually, but not as a weak, vulnerable person, but as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, defeating his enemies. So gentle Jesus, meek and mild, is not the full story at all. He's coming back as conquering King. So, a heart like wax. My heart is like wax. It's melted in the midst of my internal organs. Well, look at this. Psalm 22, verse 14. I'm poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It's melted within me. How does that relate to this red crimson worm? Crimson worm changes into this. By the morning of the fourth day, the worm has pulled the head and tail together, now in the shape of a heart on the tree. It starts losing its crimson colour, now turning into wax, which is white like snow. And it can drop off onto the ground like snow. After 3 days, the crimson gel has become a heart-shaped white wax. Our heart and our life is a lovely picture of a heart being cradled in a pair of hands. I discovered also that the crushed worm was also used to make medicine that helps the heart to beat more smoothly. I only discovered that this week when I was looking into it in more detail. I don't know what the medicine was. Secondly, the crimson worm is very fragrant when it is crushed. Remember, Jesus was crushed. It pleased the Lord to crush him. And we carry a fragrance when we have Jesus in us, which smells delightful to people who are being saved. And it smells like a horrible pong to people who hate God. So don't be alarmed if some people try and avoid you. But it's also wonderful when some people are attracted towards you. They want to know the secret of our fragrance or our love or our kindness. And the white wax body was used to make something called shellac, which is a preservative. So lots of uses for this worm. Here we are. So the wax is no longer crimson, but is now white. And you remember a verse in Isaiah 1:18 that says, God says, come, let's reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. So God has dealt with our sins, and he doesn't see them as an obstruction and a barrier to him any longer, but he sees us as white as snow, because we're wearing the garments of salvation, to use another metaphor that God has given us when we are saved, when we come into relationship with him, and we ask him to forgive our sins and accept his forgiveness. So here's a summary of what I've been saying. The mother crimson worm gives birth to her young only once in her life. She attaches her body to a tree or a fence post or a stick. Then she makes a hard crimson colour shell. This shell can't be removed unless you kill her. The eggs are laid under her body and give protection to the young. They feed on the mother's body while she's still alive. And then she dies. As she dies, she oozes out the crimson dye, which stains the wood but also stains her children, who are coloured scarlet for the rest of their lives. And after 3 days, remember, 3 days on the cross, the dead mother loses the crimson colour, turns into a white wax, and falls to the ground like snow. The saving work of Jesus, and there's a photograph of a larger number of these worms, all on the same twig. A type of the crucifixion of Jesus. He was nailed to a tree. He protects and feeds his children. He gave his life for his children. His blood covers us. 3 days of hidden work. Our great high priest with crimson garments. His heart broken with grief, melted like wax from crimson to white. If anyone would like me to send them a PowerPoint or PDF of this presentation, then see me at the end. Christine and I discovered this tale of the crimson worm probably about 5 years ago, and I did mention it in a service about that time, but I took the trouble to create this PowerPoint just in the last month. So isn't that just wonderful? Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Father, for giving us your Son. Thank you, Jesus, for being willing to come and do all this. Thank you, Lord, for those who have eyes to see it. When we look at things in nature, we can see things that point to you. Thank you for creating this crimson worm. The worm knows nothing about it, but we can be wiser, and we can see it with eyes that you give us, and see how this prefigures that glorious work of the Lord Jesus. And once again, Lord, we come to you and we ask you to cover us with your blood. We give our lives to you, and we say once again, come in, be our Lord, be our Saviour, be our protector, be our guide, be our lover. Let us yield to you. Let us feed on you. And we're going to, so yes, thank you, Father, for all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.